In 1936, my mother, who has now passed away, she was 10 years old, and she was raised in what we know now as the Great Depression. She was raised in mid-Ohio by parents who were farmers, and my grandfather farmed 100 acres to support himself and his wife and three children. Can you imagine farming 100 acres today? You couldn't hardly make anything with 100 acres. But he raised their family on that farmer's salary, and in the Great Depression, they didn't have a whole lot. And my mother tells the story of how that she had one Sunday dress. They typically back then had three pairs of clothes. You had work clothes, which was just one outfit. You had Sunday clothes, which was one outfit. And you had a school outfit. You had three things hanging in the closet. Today you go into your closet, you can't even get your stuff. You have to shove it apart, grab your item and pull it out real quick because it's going to slam shut. It's all crammed in there. You can barely get out what you want. We've got so much stuff today. But they had one school outfit, one work outfit, and Mom had one Sunday dress. And she talks about how that on Saturday they would get their Sunday clothes cleaned and ready to go. That was back in a time when you didn't have a whole lot, so you got your Sunday clothes ready to go. Today, we have all kinds of things to wear, but I want to talk about maybe somebody who's wanting to put on their Sunday clothes in a little bit different way and then take them off the rest of the week. This morning, I want to encourage us along the lines in the importance of having a daily religion. Our service to God is not just something that is done on Sunday. We don't just simply have a Sunday religion. Our Christianity is not limited to a certain day, Sunday or Wednesday night. It's not limited to a certain place, the church building. We don't have Sunday clothes and put those on and like we put on our Christianity and then take them off the rest of the week. We're supposed to be daily serving the Lord, no matter where we're at. We don't need to compartmentalize our religion where we give God Sunday, but then we give ourselves the rest of the week. We'll give God Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, but the rest of the week is for ourselves. Every day is to be a daily service to God. We're not to put God on the shelf and then get Him off the shelf on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and put Him back on the shelf and leave Him there until the next service. When we go to work and when we go to school and other places where we go, we're to be a Christian in all of those environments and at all time. I'm going to talk about some passages in God's Word that emphasize the importance of a daily religion. When we look at the New Testament church, they served Christ daily. It wasn't just something that was done a few times a week at a church service. And we need to be like that in our lives today, and that's the encouragement for us this morning. You know, even before coming to the New Testament church, when you look back at the Old Testament, turn with me to Exodus chapter 29. Have you ever thought about if you were a Jew back under the old law? There are Christians today who complain about Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and sometimes they'll complain about having to go to a gospel meeting. Can you imagine being a Jew under the old law? The more that was required back then than even today? There would be probably much more complaining, because much more of that was done on a daily basis. If you look at Exodus chapter 29, for example, this is one of many passages that talk about the daily sacrifice. Now, this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs a year old, day by day, continually. There were things that were done daily and all throughout the day. The psalmist talks about being in the temple daily and the night watchers that are in the temple. There are even things that the continual fire and the incense and the candlestick and different types of things, some of that had to be going all night long. And so it's a service to God on a daily basis. Today we don't go to a tabernacle and we don't offer up animals, but we are New Testament priests, offering up ourselves as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And we offer up spiritual sacrifices, 1 Peter 2, 5. And I would suggest that we have daily sacrifices and services as well. No, we're not going to a tabernacle and we're not offering up literal animals, but we need to be daily serving Christ and not limit it to the church building and limit it to a certain day. I find it interesting the way the devil works. First of all, he gets brethren to limit their religion to just a Sunday or a Wednesday. And I'm seeing now where some brethren can't even worship with their brethren on a Sunday now if they're off doing something else. So he gets you to cut it down to 2 days a week. And then after a little while, you don't even do that. He works in those little incremental stepstone type of ways in our lives. And we see that happening around us. We are to daily serve the Lord. And so our encouragement this morning is a daily religion, a daily sacrifice and service to the Lord, as I'm sure we all want to do this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9, the first passage I would like to look at. Let's examine this morning, what does daily religion involve? Well, it involves daily bearing our cross. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he said unto them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's not Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but daily. And cross bearing is not wearing a little cross around our neck. It's not the little trinket or the little thing that we might have sitting on the shelf. It is a symbol of sacrifice and service. Deny ourselves. Put Christ and even others first. You don't see that today. Today it's about put me first. What I think and what I feel and what I want to do and me comes first. I see that just about every time I come from Cedar Hill over to Clarksville and you go through the four-way stop at Guthrie. Nobody wants to follow the rules at the four-way stop at Guthrie. It's about me first. It's about me and my rights, and I'm here, and even though somebody else came to a stop first, I'm not going to play by the rules. I'm not going to wait. It's me, because I'm in a me generation, in a me society. It's not about denying self anymore. It's about put me first. And you'll see that at the four-way stop in Guthrie. And a bunch of other places in our society. So the semi-truck pulls up. That's the best one. The semi-truck pulls up. And then if you're the car right behind the semi-truck, you squeak in right behind the semi-truck. Even though you're supposed to wait. No, I want to squeak in. Yeah, I want to get that one in. So I go ahead, break the rules. Then the other one I saw just yesterday coming over here. Person in front of me came to a stop. I'm right behind him. He comes to a stop. Everybody's taking their turn. He takes off. And then here comes a guy from the side over by the pink elephant. He just comes out of the parking lot and gets in behind him. Whatever it takes to get me in there. You see, me first. And I see some smiles and some nodding. You know that that goes on. You see these types of things, not only in our traffic, but a lot of other places in society. That's the world that we're living in. But Jesus says the opposite. We're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, which is a symbol of sacrifice and service. And that's to be daily. That's not just Sunday and Wednesday night. Like the Apostle Paul, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. Paul said, I die daily. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about the sacrifices that he goes through to serve the Lord. And he talks about how that he had fought with beasts at Ephesus and how that there had been sacrifices and services in his life. And he did that on a daily basis. Brethren, we have a daily religion. It's not confined to Sunday and Wednesday night. We're to serve the Lord at all times. He wanted to stay in Ephesus because there was an open door there and there were many adversaries in chapter 16. But if you back up to chapter 15 and verse 31, I protest by the glory in you, brethren, that I have in Christ Jesus, I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what doth it profit me? If there is no resurrection, I'm making all of these sacrifices for nothing. Will you die daily for the Lord? No, in our songs and in our commercials and in our culture, it's me first. But with the Lord, it's serving God, loving Him with all of our heart, loving our fellow man as ourselves. We put the Lord first. I would suggest that daily religion, first of all, involves daily cross bearing. Will you and I do that each day this week? That's the encouragement. And while the rest of the selfish world around us is doing their selfish thing, we're going to follow what Jesus said, and we're going to deny ourselves and put the Lord first. When that passion and that desire comes up that I want to fulfill, I say no to that. I deny that. And when it's about me or serving the Lord, it's going to be denying what I want, and we're going to serve the Lord, even if that involves some hardships. Paul was talking about, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. There were hardships. And whether that was literal or figurative, you look at 2 Corinthians 11 and other places, Paul went through some literal and physical hardships to serve the Lord. But that's what being a Christian is all about. And there may be some of that this week in our life. And we'll say yes to that, because it's daily bearing our cross. I suggest to you in the second place that daily religion involves daily prayer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, when Jesus was asked, Lord, teach us to pray. He says to them, give us day by day our daily bread. Why say it that way, Lord? To tell us that bread is each day, day by day. We have daily necessities. We don't eat once a week. We don't eat on Sundays and then don't eat again until Wednesday night. We typically don't do that. We eat day by day, and the Lord is providing that for us each day. And we need to be thanking Him and praying to Him for that. And what's interesting is that prayer is one of the easiest things to do, and sometimes it can be the most neglected thing in our personal lives. Parents, those of you with young men, let me encourage you to encourage them to pray at home and practice praying at home. I'm trying to encourage the young men in the high school class to offer up a prayer before we begin, so that one day they can stand before the group here and pray. Practice at home praying. And even young girls can practice in a group of women. They can lead a prayer. Just the simplest thing is prayer can also often be the thing that is neglected today. We're just not praying. We're not learning to pray. We're not practicing praying. Jesus said, give us day by day our daily bread. We have daily needs, and so we need to be daily praying to God for that and daily thanking God for that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We also live in a world of just get it and grab it, and we don't stop and think about God. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 with regard to praying for our food. 1 Timothy 4 verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be received if it be received, nothing is to be rejected, excuse me, if it be received with thanksgiving. There's your prayer. We're thanking God for our food. For it, this food that we're eating, is sanctified, set apart through the word of God and prayer. Take time to pray for our food. And you're thinking, well, that's kind of basic. I see sometimes where that's neglected among Christians. Grab our food, open it up, start shoving it down. Parents, encourage your children when they're at school to say a prayer for their lunch at school. Encourage prayer, daily bread, and then set that example in our home. Again, it's basic, but sometimes it gets neglected. Our food is received with thanksgiving. Thank God for your food. He gave us the work to procure that. He gave us those different things to procure that food, thank Him for that. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 30, if you'll turn with me there, incense went up to God, that sweet smell. That was one of those things that was a daily occurrence. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 7 and 8, "And Aaron shall burn thereon incense of sweet spices every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn it. A perpetual incense before Jehovah throughout your generation." Somebody had to make that incense. And there actually is the recipe for that later in this chapter, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody's got to make that. Somebody's got to burn that. Somebody's got to bring that. And it's a daily, a morning and an evening thing. If we had been a Jew back then, would that have been too much for us? Would we have said, that's just too much, I give up? Or would we have daily done what the Lord wanted us to do? That incense is typified in the book of Revelation as the prayers of the saints going up to God in Revelation 5:8, and again in chapter 8 and verse 3. As these persecuted Christians were praying to God, "Lord, help me in this persecution," it was going up like incense to God, that sweet smelling aroma. In the Old Testament, that was daily. And it needs to be daily as well. David speaks of blessing the God each day. Turn with me to Psalm 88 and verse 9. Psalm 88 and verse 9. Like David, we need to pray daily. Not just for something that is hurting us at the moment. Some people will drop to their knees in a crisis or an emergency. We can certainly pray to God in those times, but even when those times are not on us. "Mine eye wasteth away by reason of affliction. I have called daily upon Thee, O Jehovah. I have spread forth my hands unto Thee." Like Daniel, he continued to pray to God daily. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. We must make time for prayer each day because we have that day-by-day bread that we need. Daily religion involves daily prayer. Daily religion involves daily unity and being one accord. We've talked about this recently with regard to the Warfield Boulevard congregation, that let's be unified. Let us speak to everyone. Let us visit with everyone. Let us be mindful of everyone. And if we can do something for someone, we don't want divisions and cliques and subgroups like we just studied in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through 4. It was a church that had groups within a group, and that caused divisions. But we're going to be unified. And so the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, day by day, continuing steadfastly in the temple with one accord, there was that daily unity. You don't want division to set in. You don't want division to set in through gossip and cliques and schisms and divisions. You don't want disunity to set in through error, through other kinds of things. We've seen it happen in many congregations where it just tears it up. The devil has his way. He splits the church and he gets what he wants and he moves on to the next congregation. Like New Testament Christians, we must make time to be together each day. I don't believe we can be together like this each day. Obviously, we have the Lord's Day. We have the first day of the week. We have obligations that bring us all together. There are some things that can be done only on the first day of the week. The Lord's Supper and the contribution, for example. But as much as we can be together other days of the week, if nothing more than calling someone or in our ease today of technology, texting or emailing. But we're going to be of one accord. When you find the New Testament church, especially in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, I find only two places in the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, and I could be mistaken, there could be more, but I find of only two where there was a situation that was dividing the unity of the church, and it was immediately cleared up. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira lied about what they had given to the Lord. That was immediately cleared up. hypocrisy in the church, and that's what this was. They appeared like they gave one thing when they didn't. They appeared like they gave it all when they actually held some back. That's hypocrisy, and that's going to be detrimental to a local congregation. That was immediately cleared up with the killing of Ananias and Sapphira. They're struck dead. Peter realizes that this is going to affect the unity of the congregation. And then the only other time I see something like that is in chapter 6. If you look at chapter 6 in verse 1, when some of the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration, we're going to talk about that in a minute. That was immediately cleared up by appointing men who can go and serve them and take care of them. There was a murmuring going on. And so chapter 6 in verse 1, murmuring can disrupt the unity of a local church. Hypocrisy can disrupt the unity of a local church. And so these things were immediately cleared up. Why? Because unity is important. And they were day by day steadfastly with one accord. I believe that there was probably a much simpler time here. And I believe we can get back to that kind of time. We find in Acts chapter 1 through 12, the church at Jerusalem is unified on all accounts. And the two times when they're not, that's immediately cleared up. And they go back to being unified. Less distractions than today. Less things going on. Less plans with the things of our life and the things of the world. There was just a focus on the church. And it would be good for us to get back to that approach to Christianity. But they were daily with one accord. And we need that in our lives. Daily religion also involves daily evangelism. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. There was an emphasis on teaching others. When Peter and John are put in prison and let out of prison and put in prison and let out, and the Jews are trying to stop the preaching of God's word, we find in Acts chapter 5 verse 42, and every day in the temple and at home they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. There are great times when we can invite people to the church building. And at the temple, that was a public place. And it's a place to invite your friends in Jerusalem to come to the temple. But they were also doing this at home. And every day they were doing that. Can we find the time to reach out and talk to those that we touch each day in our daily associations, whether it be work or Walmart or somewhere else, with the word of Jesus Christ? If nothing more than just a simple invite, a handing them of the bulletin. I'm going to try if I can remember. I'm making my public commitment, so I better remember. But I'm going to try starting next Sunday, for the next three Sundays leading up to our gospel meeting, to list those topics in the back of the bulletin and then to put a flyer in each of your bulletin in your box. Just take that bulletin and that flyer each Sunday, and on Monday or Tuesday, sometime later that week, just hand it to somebody. Just hand it to them. It's very easy. We're trying to teach others the Word of God. Set them out somewhere where other people can grab them. I appreciate what Dave and Phil have been doing pretty much since the time I've been here. They've been taking 10 each week. David, I saw your 10 from last week, so now you're up to 20. I'm just kidding, David. They take those and they put them out at their work. Just lay them out somewhere. Just hand them to somebody. And we can do that, of course, building up to the gospel meeting, but anytime. There will be growth, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. When we daily try to reach people, I believe we can save souls. Sometimes in the church we lament, why are we not growing? Why are we not filling the pews? Why are we not filling the building? Well, part of it is that there has to be conversions, and conversions comes from teaching. And so we've got to be reaching out. When Jesus went to the cross, his final week, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 47, and again in chapter 21 verse 37, he brings up the matter that I sat daily with you in the temple. I sat daily teaching. You know, we need to be like Jesus in many regards. He impresses me with regard to his teaching. What is he doing at age 12? What was he doing at age 12? And then let me ask you this. What was he doing while he was hanging on the cross? He was still teaching while hanging on the cross. Those words out of his mouth were lessons to be taught others. So from age 12 to the very dying breath. and everywhere in between, that focus on taking the Word of God to lost souls. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Like Jesus and like Paul, we need to seek out opportunities. When you look at Jesus, one opportunity he had was just sitting at a well. Just sitting at a well. And when Paul would go out, he would seek for and find opportunities. It really is not that difficult. We're sitting waiting for our car to get the tires changed or whatever. It's not that difficult. And so we find that when Paul is in Athens, that he goes to the marketplace every day and met with them so that he could teach them. Why? That's where you go to buy and sell things. There are going to be people there, and I'm going to go down there, and that's where I'm going to find some opportunities. And he did. And in chapter 9 and verse 19, even when one door is shut in verse 8, and in verse 9, when a door is shut, there were some who were hardened and disobedient. Paul didn't give up. The text says he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. That's how the church at Ephesus continued to grow. Daily conversions. Because when one door was shut, verse 9, some people didn't want it. He just went somewhere else in town and found another open door. And so I would encourage us to do the same. Daily teaching of God's Word. And you know what? I was reading a bulletin article a long time ago, and a brother made a point that really stuck with me. He was talking about the statement in John chapter 4 about fields white unto harvest. You know that statement that Jesus makes there? Fields white unto harvest. And he was talking about people that we need to go talk to and preach to and save. And when you think about fields white unto harvest, you're thinking maybe foreign evangelism. So going into another country and taking the gospel to other countries. His lesson was about the most neglected field. The most neglected field. And then he said, the home. Just people right at our table, right around our table, right under our own roof. When we talk about daily teaching, yes, that involves others, but don't neglect that closest field that is white unto harvest, our own spouse, our own children, our own grandchildren. And we can certainly do that on a daily basis. Daily religion involves daily serving of others. And again, we're in a world where we have to push this back and fight this. It's all about me and take care of me. And whether it's the four-way stop in Guthrie or 101 other places around, you'll see that it's me first. In Acts chapter 6, there were those who were neglected in the daily ministration. When you read your Bible, the church had gotten about 5,000 members. That's big, isn't it? There's going to be some needs there. There's going to be some people who have to be taken care of, and especially some of these widows. And there was a daily ministration. Yeah, with 5,000 people, every day somebody's going to need something. And with 80 some here, we see the needs that we have. Can you imagine 5,000? But some were being neglected in that. And so the plan was put in place to appoint these men who will make sure that this takes care of. There are things that we can do each day to minister to our brethren in and out of the building. But that takes time. We have to sacrifice. We have to put the Lord's work first. We have to put our brethren first. We could and can fill our time with ourselves and our projects and our hobbies and our after-school things and all of this and stuff on the weekend. We can fill it so much that there is no time to serve our brother or the Lord. You look at Acts chapter 6, turn with me there, and you look at those men. Those men could have said, well wait a minute. I'm married and I'm working and I've got a family and we're doing this in the afternoon and next Saturday we're doing that and I'm not going to be able to get to those widows. But you find the kind of men, verse 3, brethren, look out from among you seven men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There's a lot there that would make a great lesson, but just people who are full of the Spirit.
people who are full of doing what the Holy Spirit wants them to do, then they're going to make time in their lives to do what needs to be done. So let's make sure that in our daily service to Christ, we're making that time. And it is hard. We've got a lot of things going on. We've talked recently about the teaching program and other kinds of things and lists that need to be filled out. There are some things that we can do on a regular basis. Let's go home, look at our lives and say, what more time can I carve out for the Lord and His people? Because there are daily ministrations. Things that we can do on a regular basis. I believe daily religion involves daily Bible reading. And we're very familiar with this. And like prayer, sometimes the most simple or easy thing is the very thing that is neglected. We know from Acts chapter 17, if you'll turn there, the word noble, we're talking about some of the older versions say that those folks in Thessalonica, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, those who were in Berea. The word noble there doesn't mean nobility like a king and a queen. The word noble there literally means open-minded, fair-minded. When Paul came preaching, they wanted to have an open mind and open the Scriptures and see what the truth is. And they examined the Scriptures daily. It wasn't just a quick flipping through. It wasn't just, okay, I see something. But we're going to see if what Paul is saying is so. Paul reasoned from the Scriptures. That would be the Old Testament Scriptures. And so they're going back and they're comparing what Isaiah says, for example, with what Paul is preaching. And that takes some time. And so they studied, they examined. That was on a regular basis. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. We need to be like Paul. We need to be like those in Berea. We need to be like those in Nehemiah's day. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. If it means turning the TV off, so be it. If it means putting the phone down, so be it. Stepping away from the computer or other types of things, let us get back to daily reading and meditating on the Word of God. God's Word is our guide. We've got to have a guide every day. In Nehemiah chapter 8, when all of the people were gathered together, they read all of the Word of God one morning, from morning until noon, and then daily after that. Verse 18, also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. They had already read through the law. I don't know if that is reading it again for emphasis or reading to maybe some who'd showed up that weren't there on the first day, but day by day, reading from the book of the law of God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Is there ever a day when you don't need God's guidance? Is there ever a day when we don't need help from God's Word? Is there ever a day when we don't need support or encouragement from God's Word? Can we say there are days where I just put it on neutral and I don't need God's guidance? No, we need His Word every day, don't we? We need His wisdom every day. And we see around us the world that we're getting into when we don't have God's Word with us. In Proverbs chapter 8, this is the great chapter in Proverbs on the Word and the wisdom of God. I want to read Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore, my sons, this is wisdom speaking as if she were a woman. Now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, for blessed are they that keep my ways, talking about the Word of God, the wisdom of God. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life and shall obtain favor of Jehovah. It's like me waiting at the door of God's Word. I can't wait to get what God has for me. Waiting daily at my gates. And that's what we need in our life. Not just for those of us who are adults, but instill that in our children as we're reading God's Word together. More than just getting our Bible lesson. We can read a little bit just for encouragement or consolation or more learning. But daily waiting at the gates of God's Word and wisdom to receive what He has for us. We're seeing a world today where more and more are not having that, and then we're wondering why our nation is going down. I don't know if the young man that I saw this morning on the way to services looked, just commented to Sherry coming on the way over here. He was swinging on his front porch on his phone. I don't know if he was going to a service later today or not. Maybe he was. I hope he was. But if that was his day, if that's what his day is going to be, then we wonder why there's a generation who knows not God. They're just not being taken to church services anywhere. They're not being taken to read the Bible, to pray, to learn God's Word. They're up swinging on the front porch on their phone. Well, that 12-year-old will grow up to be someone without God. And we know the problems that that will lead. I hope he was being taken somewhere. Maybe he was. But often they're not. And so we see the problems that we're getting into around the world. But we're trying to keep that from our own lives. And that'll come with daily waiting at the gates of God's Word and God's wisdom. And then last of all, and the lesson will be yours, turn with me to the scripture reading that Carlin had earlier in Hebrews chapter 3. Daily exhortation. We all need building up to stay away from the devil, to stay away from sin. And let me encourage us to do what we can to exhort one another day by day. Let me ask you this. Does the devil work only on Sundays and Wednesdays? That's the only time he works. The devil's constantly working to cause people to sin. And so we have to daily exhort one another to stay away from that. The book of Hebrews is written to Christians who are falling into apostasy. They're falling away from Christ. Some of them are not going to the assembly anymore. Hebrews 10:25. Some of them have left altogether. Hebrews chapter 6. They're not going to return. And so the Hebrew writer is trying to encourage them to stay faithful. And one thing he says is, verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God." Well, what's the solution? But exhort one another day by day. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays, but each day. And if we know of someone among us, myself included, if we know of someone who needs encouragement, we don't want them to fall away. So we do this, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We were talking this morning in the high school class about how the devil works in just a little incremental way. Just little by little, each day, and then days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and then we're hardened. What keeps us from going down that path? Encouraging each other day by day. The devil doesn't take a break, and neither should we with our encouragement. And so like New Testament Christians, we must make the time, not just for serving, but also making the time to encourage each other to avoid sin and apostasy. And bring up those things with them that we need to be careful about, whether it's the media or other kinds of things. We're trying to encourage each other not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The devil's not going to take a break. And so we have to daily encourage each other to be strong. Spouses can do that with each other. Parents can do that with their children. And we can do that one with another, whether it's calling or visiting or something else. As we close this morning, I want us to consider that being a Christian then is not just something where you put on your Sunday clothes and then you take them off the rest of the week. It's a daily religion. It is a daily service. We have a daily cross to bear, daily prayers to be made, daily unity, daily evangelism, daily service, the daily reading of God's Word, and daily exhorting one another so that we would not be hardened. And I want to close with this question. Why? Why do that? Well, first of all, God's Word tells us to be doing that on a daily basis. But what other incentive or motivation is there? And I want to close with this. Well, first of all, God is there for us each day. Shouldn't we be there for Him each day? Is there a day where God takes off and He's not there for us? He's there for us on Sundays and Wednesdays, but He's not there for us on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's just not there. You knock, and He doesn't answer. You need some help? He doesn't come to the door. No, he's always there. The psalmist says in Psalm 68, verse 19, he daily bears our burdens. That's right. He's always there for us, and we always need to be there for him. And then last of all, we will grow. We will grow. When we are doing things daily, it will produce daily growth. When the Lord's church in the book of Acts was daily doing what it was to be doing, and there was the preaching of God's word, the text says that the Lord added daily those who were saved. There will be growth to this congregation. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, they grew daily in number and in faith because they were doing things daily. Paul says that our outward man decays, and the older I get, the more I realize that, more aches and pains and so forth. But our inward man is renewed day by day, because Paul was doing daily what the Lord wanted him to do. Well, the lesson is yours. Let's go out this week and daily serve the Lord. There are some things that we need to do here and only here on the first day of the week. That's true. But there are many things that we need to be doing daily to serve God. And that's our admonition and that's our encouragement this morning. There may be someone who needs to begin your daily service by coming and obeying the gospel. The water is ready. You can come repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ. This is the first day of the week, and each day thereafter, you can be a faithful Christian. There may be someone who has erred in some way and you want to come back and you want the prayers of the saints. We can encourage you. But we're not going to put on our Sunday clothes and then take them off and not be a Christian the rest of the week. This week, we're going to serve Christ every day, and we're going to encourage our families to do that. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?